There we go. All right. Well, has anyone got anything they want to talk about to start with? Feel free.
Well, I'm always a talker. We had something interesting happen, which was new. We've been practicing all summer long, and finally we had a big breakthrough. We actually had a portal open in the prayer room.
Good.
I saw like a white light, just a little light. My husband saw shimmering waves, like what you would see, heat waves.
Yeah.
So by faith, I stepped through.
Yeah.
I couldn't see anything. I just kept my eyes closed. I was trying to see in the spirit, but I didn't see anything, and I kept walking. And the funny thing is my husband was seeing what I was doing in the spirit, and he said I was in a corridor, and there were a whole bunch of doors, and the doors were alive. They were living.
Yeah.
And as I was walking, I'm facing a wall in the prayer room, and it felt like the wall disappeared for a second. I couldn't feel the wall anymore.
Yeah.
And I just kept walking, and he saw me walk to a different level. It was all in white, and that's about as far as it went. Now, one of the other gentlemen in the prayer room stepped by the portal. And he got drunk in the spirit. He was woo! He was just going crazy.
Yeah.
But new and interesting for us.
Yeah,
I was
good.
excited.
Yeah, well, all these things begin to, once we practice and we start going, that they do start to open up. And then you begin to start to learn how to engage them more and what the purpose of it is and draw from the symbolism of it as well. But the fact that someone walked past it and experienced that, in a sense, indicates to a degree that they're not used to being in the glory, and that's why they ended up there where they are. Because it says in Jude that we have to learn how to stand in the glory and minister, not just be overcome by it. So the fact that you were able to step through it and weren't incapacitated is a sign that you're growing in your engagement with those realms. Because we can't go into the realms of heaven and fall on the floor and roll around the floor every time we go in there. We've got stuff to do, So, in a sense, it's like we have to get used to it. And we've experienced that here with in our meetings. When we first felt this weight of the presence of God, people just couldn't stand. But actually now, people are standing and ministering into it and engaging into it. When other people come in, they're like, some of them who are not used to that, they're like, wow. And we're sort of used to it, because it's almost like if you live on a planet that's got a heavier gravity, you learn to walk under that heavy weight. When the heavy weight isn't there, obviously it's really light. It is about tuning in and attuning to those things, growing in it and learning through it. And my encouragement will be in that sort of thing, will be to take that experience as a testimony and to engage with God around it and ask him, okay, where was that corridor going? What were those doors that were living? Have I got access to them? Can I go back into the next time and go and open one of those doors and walk through? Because that's, for me, that would be, hey, there's a whole load of doors here. I wouldn't be seeing these unless there'd be a reason that I'm going to get to open them. If it's not now, when? So it's engaging then in it so that it becomes the doorway into future engagements and doesn't just become a one-off, oh, that was a great experience, but that becomes an entry point to experience the fullness of what you were receiving. And then when you go through one of the doors, that will open up into something else, which will probably lead on to something else or onto the next door or whatever it is in the process and the journey that you're on with God. But it's exciting, the engagements with these things, it's really encouraging, isn't it, that you encountered that. Just draw from it the fullness of everything, you know. I mean, I've had to go back into encounters a number of times to re-engage and get the fullness out of them. But they're great. Mm, very good.
Well, thank you. My goal is the whole group go in with me, so that's what I'm trying to work on.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, that's what it is. It's open, you know, and, you know, those people who go in, they will probably encounter the things that will relate to them in there. Sometimes they're the same thing, sometimes they're different. You know, we encounter things that God wants us to experience where we are on our journey. Because some people, you know, the person who just couldn't cope with the presence coming through quite yet and just enjoyed the blessing and benefit of it in one sense, you know, is different from you who've gone into things before. And everyone's at different levels and stages. And therefore, when people do engage, they will probably have different experiences of the things that they engage into. But it's a good goal. And, you know, keep working with it. And it is something when you then say, okay, how do you get those people through it? And I think that's where encouraging people to step in by faith. And it's like, okay, I can experience and see this sense. Can you sense it? Come close to the portal. Put your hand in. Can you feel anything? All those are things I've done with people to ease them into that. You know, when it's been angels around and things like that. You know, I've sort of said, okay, just come close. There's an angel here. I just want you to put your hand out. What do you feel when you touch this angel? Do you sense anything with your physical senses? Reach out with your spirit. Are you engaging? Because if you can't see anything, that's okay, but open up your other senses to look to engage. Do you feel a different atmosphere? Do you sense a different emotion? Do you sense a different fragrance? And people will have different experiences of those things, you know, and finding ways to open the door and introduce people into the experiences, you know, we need to just be creative to help people, you know, get over the threshold into those things. And, you know, first of all, I think, you know, talking to them about it and just leading them towards it, you know, is a good thing. But I'm sure this is just the first of many, many encounters that you'll get. So it's great.
Well, we practice what you said, that when we see something, you speak it out, and that helps it to manifest.
Yep.
So how it started is after we were doing praise and worship, that one of the gentlemen, the one that couldn't tolerate it, he saw Jesus standing beside me, and he had his hand stretched out to me, and he was saying, come up here.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, and that's when we saw the door, and I said, okay, by faith, I'm going through, because by gosh, if the door's there, I'm taking it. So that's how it all started.
Good, excellent. Yeah, very good. Very good. Very good. Yeah, brilliant. Okay. All right. Anyone else got something?
Yeah, I finally got to the wine cellar. Finally. I had been wanting, you know, from all the stories. And it was what surprised me, you know, two of us went. Surprised me was that there were different rooms. In each room, the wine was classified by, you know, according to call or whatever. And, you know, I was like, okay, so whose wine do we want? And then, I'm like, I have no idea. And I just said, well, where's Jesus? Where are you? And he was just standing there. He had one for us to drink. And he said it was one of the hidden ones, which was really good because it was amazing. I began to know these things about this person, this disciple of Thomas. And it was, I mean, to the point where I was crying because I saw how he was martyred and everything. Mm-hmm. And then he went to different rooms. And each room, we had communion. There was also bread there. And it wasn't religious. It was just the wine and bread, you know, just eat and drink. And so, you know, even some sweet bread. It was a real amazing, amazing encounter. And, of course, you know how you come out of those things. Throughout the week, you get confirmation that you saw this or confirmation that this happened. And it was just amazing because I've been wanting to get to the wine. wanting to. Just eat, drink, you know. And it wasn't their whole religious, you know, communion, but each one, he gave us bread and, you know, or a sweet bread and wine, too. So it was really good. Yeah. I was amazed to see barrels. I mean, I don't know if I thought I would see bottles, but I saw barrels and barrels of wine. Just tall, you know, just all over the place. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's an indication of the fact that it's there's enough for everybody to drink, you know, and to engage in those that we need to, you know. I mean, you can't go and drink the wine of everybody because they're not necessarily connected to our destinies, but those that are, it's important that we are able to draw revelation from their lives and to learn from them. I think, you know, the cloud of witnesses are there, you know, as a support and to cheer us on and to encourage us and to, you know, help us, you know, in going forward into destiny. And you know, people find these sorts of things really strong. You know, why would you be able to go and drink the wine of someone's life? Well, because there will be revelation there for you. It's like, why would you want to go and talk to anyone here on earth that can give you some advice or some information or some help? Or they've been before and they can help you get there easier. I mean, why wouldn't we want that? I mean, for me, it's like, if I'm going to connect up with someone who's done something similar, I'm going to learn from them. You know, and that's available for us, you know. I think a lot of people just don't really think about connecting like that because it's sort of foreign in a foreign way, but they would see it in a natural sense really easily. You know, obviously, you know, if I could meet someone who had a similar vision and had gone before and had gone ahead and had done some things ahead of me, I would certainly want to talk to them and at least ask their perspective, and which is why we have discipleship and mentoring and all the stuff I'm doing, is because, you know, I want to help people engage in some of the things that I've seen and learn from them and learn the engagements and help each other as we go forward, you know. So yeah, the wine room's a pretty good place to engage. So yeah, good.
So I'm glad she mentioned the hidden ones, because I haven't heard of anybody. That's a wine that I drink. I don't know. I've drinking it a few times, but I'd never really heard anybody talk about it. So that's very interesting that she drank from the Hidden Ones wine. And I always kind of wondered what that meant. I mean, I think I understand a little bit, because, you know, there's obviously people who are called to public ministry and stuff like that. But I think you've talked about that, where people, you know, just aren't going to have any name, aren't going to have any, you know, platform or anything like that. But God is raising up to do serious business, shall we say.
Yeah.
But the one thing I've had, I don't know, I find with the holidays, like, just experiences just really pick up. And so I've had some really, I finally got to meet Enoch, which I was so excited about. Like, I've wanted to meet Enoch for so long, but I finally got to meet Enoch. The Lord told me the day before, he's like, I've got a surprise for you tomorrow. And so when I was in the court, I've met Noah before, and Noah brought Enoch to meet me. I just burst into tears. I was just standing there. I was so overwhelmed with that, because, you know, Enoch walked with God. And that is my heart's desire, to walk, you know, walk with God the way Enoch did. And so it was a very exciting moment. And I had another involuntary court experience. It was very interesting because, you know, I moved here from the Pacific Northwest. And so I watch the Portland one, because that's where I moved from. And it's very interesting, because when I have, sometimes when I have court experiences, I hear what's going on there in the Pacific Northwest as well as in New England, which I find just fascinating. So I think this courtroom was called the Court of Intercessors. I've never heard anybody talk about that, and I don't. That's what it felt like it was called to me. But it was talking about regions. It was, like I said, it was talking about the Pacific Northwest, and it was talking about New England. And I haven't had time to go back there just because it's been a very hectic week. But I was wondering if you'd heard any, if you knew. I mean, I know that sometimes people have different names for them and stuff like that. But I was wondering if you knew anything about that.
I think you're right. People experience something, and a name is applied to the experience to help understand what was going on in the encounter. I think people who've moved from one region to another but had sown into the land and are connected to it can, you know, because it's not about just in the spirit, there isn't the differentiation in one sense. We can engage, you know, I can engage in places that I'm not physically in, so long as there's a connection in my destiny and my scroll, I'm mandated to do it, so that's fine. I think the mobile court has got lots of different names, and the court of accusation, but actually it's also the court of intercession, because we can convene it for specific places, regions, people, events, things. And so that is where the judicial issues of intercession, standing in the gap, beginning to minister into a region, looking for accusations in the region, looking for government in the region, all that stuff can take place. I think most people recognize that mobile court really is about dealing with your own issues and your own stuff, but actually that's just the first connection to it. We can convene that court for all sorts of judicial protocol of an intercessory nature, standing in the gap for operating in. So yeah, I mean, in that, to me, it would be that court, but the function of it and therefore the name out of it any one time can be depending on what you call it for. I convene it sometimes for our church, but I can convene it for myself. We can convene it for our project. We can convene it for our town. You know, once we establish, you know, a local bench of three, I'm establishing one at this point in time, then we will be able to convene that for our town to hear accusations for our town and different things. So it's all part of that judiciary process of bringing government by convening that court. And, you know, I think there'll be a lot more that comes out of understanding judicial court processes and those type of things as we go forward. You know, we're just beginning to learn. And it's good, you know, when you sort of share something like that, okay, it was like the Court of Intercessors. Well, yeah, because that was the function in which you were observing what was going on, because you were hearing things that came out of that region. So it's great, you know.
Yeah, I find it very interesting. Me and my friend had an encounter, several months ago, where we found ourselves in a council, shall we say. And it was just kind of, the only way I can express it is, it was like the going to and fro and reporting on what you've seen. And there was an issue that I had seen regarding the food industry that really, really troubled me. And so I presented that issue before the court, and we had to go to a scribe room and have this thing sealed, and then we went and presented it before the throne to have actually, you know, the Father's approval. Yeah. And it's interesting because I've seen this food issue, I've been watching it and seeing several different, I don't know, like it goes this way one wet time and it goes this way. But I believe because, you know, of the time of year we're in, I think I saw a resolution of it. And so when I have these courtroom experiences, it's very strange because, well, I guess it's what you would call a forerunner, because I find myself there, I hear myself, like, certain issues being discussed, and I feel like something just rises up in my heart to present, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's like opposite. It's like, oh, I need to present this issue, so I'm going before this court. It seems like it's a little opposite. So is that just kind of just the Lord letting me know that I have access, or
yeah.
I'm not quite
yeah.
sure
well,
what
yeah,
do
this is different. There's different levels of courts and different levels of government that operate in them. I mean, in our nation, we have, from the bottom level, we have something called family court, where family issues are brought for mediation, where we have a mediator that is involved in family court. We have what's called magistrate's court, and a magistrate's court only deals with issues that have a maximum 2-year sentence. Then we go to crown court, which can have, you know, a life sentence, different types of things. We have judicial courts that deal with legislative things. I mean, right up to our highest court is the House of Lords, with the Supreme Court and court, you know, all those things in between. And heaven is, you know, those, that system is patterned after heaven. And so there is, you know, the places that we first engage in probably and have most access to initially in the realm of the kingdom of God are the court of war, or the strategy court, the mobile court, the intercessory accusatory court, and the court of angels. And that they're all really to do about dealing with things in the realm of outworking the principles of God in lordship. So we begin to function in lordship under effectively the mandates that we've been given from the king, if you like. Because the king issues a mandate, the lords begin to administrate the mandates. And you need access to the angels and the strategy and the mobile court of justice, effectively, to be able to deal with that. In the realm of the kingdom of heaven, there is the court of chancellors and the court of scribes. And that is where you present things for authorization, like the chancellor's court. They will seal things and give you an authorization for a particular authority. Usually that can come in that level. So you're operating in lordship, but you're given a function to establish some things. But then there's another level in the court, in the realm of heaven, that you have the court of the kings, the court of the council of the fathers, and the court of the upright. And that requires kingship to function there. So we then need to be able to establish legislative decrees. And then when we, you know, and when I went to the Court of Kings, I found myself, I'd never been there before, behind the bench, sat with a scroll in front of me that got written, that came out of my spirit. And so then I took that, because wisdom was showing me the protocol of what you do when you get these things. I took that scroll, I went to the Court of Chancellors, I presented it, and they sealed it, and then I took it to the Court of Scribes, and it got put into the record of law, and there was that process, that protocol of the different courts system. So different things happen in different places, and we get access to them according to the levels of authority that we're operating in at any one time. You know, and you can have forerunner experiences of them, for sure, because God, you know, shows you something, and then it's almost like, okay, this is what you're going to be doing. Now, ultimately, I personally believe that some of those courts, we should be functioning there. Like, the Chancellor's Court has angelic beings there that operate in chancellorship right now, because we are not operating in chancellorship. The Court of Kings has people in it and beings in it because we're not going in kingship. You know, our engagement into the Court of the Councils of the Fathers is because we're, again, not operating in chancellorship authority yet, but it's coming. and then we begin to administer differently. And then actually people will come before the Court of Chancellors and we will be seated bringing authorization to them because we've been operating in kingship and we have a legislative outworking. Now, you know, these things are, you know, we're learning, you know, there's a whole level of courts above that in the realms of above heaven in terms of the heaven of heavens and stuff where you've got the Galactic Council and the Court of Judges and stuff. You know, I've only been into one of those courts so far. You know, I think sometimes some of the ones in, like, particularly the Court of Upright, the Men in White Linen, the Cloud of Witnesses, I've actually seen them turn up when I've been in the Chancellor's Court, and I know others have, because they cheer on. You get a sense that they come around excited because we're starting to do stuff. And so that they cheer, and they sort of like, wow, yeah. You know, and it's sometimes even when I've gone in the Court of Angels with this mandate looking for angelic assignment, they've gone in there as well. It's like, yeah, I want to be a part of what's going on, you know. So there's a whole system of government. You know, I don't think it's restricted just to that. That's, you know, I've encountered with wisdom another whole, you know, interestingly, Rebecca talked earlier about a whole row of doors that were living doors. You know, I've engaged in what I would describe as the 12 Chancellor's houses, and they are doors, big doors that are engaged in certain things. I know Kimberly talked about being in a place where the nations or the affairs of the nations, and one of those Chancellor's courts is called the Affairs of Nations, and we get to go and administrate things there. Well, we will anyway. When we're beginning to engage in chancellorship authority, you know, and each of them have got a chief angel. You have the treasury, you know, with Melchizedek, but there are a whole lot of other angels that are assigned at that level. And I know that we will have assignments in those courts. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, part of our coming into sonship to have authority of government there. So lots of stuff which we're just learning and touching, scratching the surface on, but, you know, it's great to hear people engaging there and doing things there. Pretty awesome.
Well, I was really amazed by that because it had been, you know, I think the first court experience I had in heaven was a family court, and yeah. I didn't know that it, you know, I didn't even know anything at the time, and it was a family court, and I had a couple other involuntary, but that was like almost 9 months ago. And now, just in the last few, I don't know, several weeks, I've had, I mean, I go and do the scroll and, you know, all that stuff. And I meet people in this courtroom all the time. Like, I get, you know, that's where I seem to meet people. It used to be they would come here, but now I just get to meet people in this court, you know, as I'm doing business and stuff, getting mandates or whatever, and but yeah, it's that's the place where everybody cheers, and I get overwhelmed sometimes because you walk in and everybody's standing up and cheering, and you're just like, I don't know, it's just weird sometimes.
Yeah, well, it is a little bit, you know, but we got to get used to it, and we grow into it, and then we understand what to do in it, and then we begin to start legislating and functioning in it. You know, a lot of the sort of forerunner experiences are to introduce us into the fact that this is how heaven operates. You know, a lot of people just don't think of heaven operating in governmental form, but it does. I mean, it is a government, it's a kingdom that's under the mountain of God, and therefore the whole, any nation or kingdom has a system of government that it operates under, and we need to understand how the kingdom of God operates within the judicial system and how the protocols of those things are and how they work, so that we will be familiar with able to minister them according to our destiny. That's the key. It's like we don't go into a court and do something outside of our sphere of government, but actually if it's in our sphere of government, we've got every right to administer that government out of heaven. And we're just obviously learning as we are now to do it and engage it. but it's good, isn't it? Interesting. All these things are very, I find, you know, it's great talking to people because we're just seeing more and more people are beginning to encounter these things. You know, it's becoming not, you know, before it was like, you know, there's hardly anyone operating in the realms of heaven. Now it's like, as you say, you're meeting people. You're engaging in things, what's going on. You know, it's not a lonely place anymore. Things are happening in those realms, which is awesome. You know. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else got something?
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit. We've been talking about the ley line.
Yeah.
The ley line guide has been establishing, across the country, and I guess it's like the 41st, you know, and there are a couple of latitudes, a couple of degrees either way. But what he had us do systematically was set seats of government up over a particular area, over where each one of us were, a seat of government and keys. He established an angelic being from that area to work with each one of us. And then when we went across the country, he had us go back almost like to reconnect it back to the farthest end. And then we did, all of us did what was called a dominion surge.
Mm.
And we established certain boundaries and certain decrees over the land. And shored up and ran out. You know, it was really, really interesting because he gave us a vision of where we're sitting. Like I said, we're sitting at this board as light beings as we do these things. And he's saying, what's interesting is he's saying, establish underneath each area the same council that you work with in each area. And whether you sit with that council or not, you know, you still establish it. Excuse me, girl. And it's really, I don't know what's going on, like, because you talk about the 49th lateral line, who I want so much to get some feedback from, and if he's doing the same types of things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's interesting because you'd see these angels get together. I mean, it's like they've gotten together at the same time as we get together. So I'm just trying to understand if this makes sense, if it sounds like we're on the right track.
Oh, absolutely makes sense, yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. This whole area from the east to the west coast, across that parallel,
mm-hmm.
I'm connecting up with a number of different groups and people along there.
Mm-hmm.
And things are happening. You know, things are really happening. And what you're doing is affecting things, and what mm-hmm. other people are doing are affecting things. You know, the whole, I mean, Kimberly talked about, you know, the right over in the northwest and Portland and over that way and Vancouver on the other side. You know, we have over right on the other side, Toronto on the other side, and you know, Seattle, there's things that are really starting to come together. Washington State, I'm making connections with those people and places and seeing, hey, something is happening.
Okay. Yeah.
I think this will be a pattern for what goes on in the future, where it won't just be that parallel. It will be each of the parallels, and then there will be an expansion for those who are called governmentally to engage the tectonic plates that are connected to those parallels and begin to go to a deeper or higher level of governmental authority. And those parallels then, of course, connect up with people who are also on those parallels in other parts of the world, so that there will be international councils that are connected to certain sort of lines of government that God has established. And it's really great to see. You know, I mean, someone told me the other day that they were traveling, and they and I think they're from, I'm not sure where, I think on the other side. I think, no, from Washington. They're in Washington, but they traveled through Oregon, and they came to the Portland area, and it was like they went through a dome of spiritual activity. And when they went into it, they started, their whole being started to react to it emotionally, just an overwhelming sense of, I mean, good spiritual activity, not bad stuff, good stuff that was going on. And then they drove, when they drove out through the other side of it, immediately it stopped. Like, it just switched off because they've come out of that atmosphere, but those atmospheres are being established. Those places of government are being established with the seats that are being set up to begin to administer into that and to clear the atmosphere and to prepare for what's coming. You know, all this is preparing. It's a preparation of the atmosphere and the land for what's coming. And, you know, I can see the establishment of these things really, really clearly beginning to form. You know, so what you're doing is absolutely on the right track, on the right line, and you know, it's just the beginning of seeing that government expand both longitudinally and also latitudinally, because certain of those places are where the longitude and latitude cross, and then you have established a seat which can then for some go longitude as well as latitude, and then you begin to expand out in a sort of concentric circle around that connection to form a greater level of government. But it's exciting, you know. That was just
I saw the
Yeah.
I just find that fascinating because if you look statistically, both the Pacific Northwest and New England are like in the bottom of all 50 states of unchurched, unaffiliated religiously. And I just think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. He'll be back. Sometimes we lose him. Yeah, I saw that there'll be longitudes also established that connect. I mean, just a complete grid, a network. It's really, it's exciting.
Now, where are you located?
I'm in the Detroit area.
Oh, okay.
I see. Yeah, Ohio, it was Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, southern Michigan, that whole area that he had a... had us establish a seat, you know, way up, and then it was the Chicago area and New York, and then Silicon Valley area, San Francisco. I mean, just across the country, and it's like, whoa, yeah. Well, I want to let's see. Hi, Kimberly, because we have never met. Well, maybe Mike's... Okay, Mike's coming back.
All right. Yeah. So I, you know, it's really exciting times. So we begin to see God at work in these areas, establishing government. You know.
Another thing that happened from that, I was escorting a friend to the trading floor, and during that encounter, the Lord actually gave me what was a deed to the area that, you know, totally unrelated to what we were there for, but he handed a deed of the area that the government, you know, where the seat is over, and I'm, you know, fabric-gassed. And then my friend asked for me to receive a chronometer. I mean, she just asked for me to receive a chronometer. So he took the deed back, put a chronometer in it, rolled it back up, and then handed it to me. So I'm trying to understand what all that's about. But it was totally different. You know, we were there for something else. And
yeah. So what was it you rolled up? A chronometer?
Yeah, a chronometer. A time, like a
time. All right.
Like
yeah.
A clock.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting, yeah, because I think once we begin to establish government in these levels, the accessing into time to deal with the things in time that are affecting the things now will be something that begins to unveil. I know Gary Beaton is doing a lot of this stuff. It's like there will be access to that level of government to begin to see into time, and because it's part of the connection in government to these things, there will be an enabling to deal with some of those things in time, which will be really, really interesting. I mean, you know, it's not like you go back to change what happened in time, but you go to, because time past has happened, but we have, by having access to it, we answer the things that God wanted to do at that time, because we go back into it. It's already happened to a degree, if you like, because we went back into it as we were supposed to, but he's using us now because we're connected to that land, to that area, because we have a deed to it, to answer some of the things that went on in time. And in a sense, we always did it. But actually, we're doing it because we're stepping into the realms of heaven and have access to it now. And this has happened with specific people ministering back into time, ministering healing back into time. Several testimonies I've heard of people who've gone, were taken back into time to answer the prayers and the needs for that time, because there was no one there to do it at the time. You know, and because there wasn't the government, and there weren't those who had the revelation or the understanding to be able to have dealt with it in that point. So we become available to be used on the timeline to effect that, so that we then, you know, are part of it. I mean, it's a circular thing. You know, it's one of those, time is a very difficult thing to get your whole handle over, really. But, you know, we don't go back and change it, but we were always in it. It's like God, because we went back in from here to there, and we were always in it because it's already happened, but we were actually used in effecting some of those things in the on the timeline, which is, you know, again, pretty bizarre to some people. But actually, when you look into engagement into eternity and understand that there is a timeline that you can access, it makes sense then. But it's good, though. Good stuff. So, thanks, Slim. Okay.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I recall three separate instances where he has done that with me in time. And I never even made that connection until you brought that up. Because it was like one time he said, well, I knew back then you would be here to, you know, I knew you'd be praying about this now to you.
Yeah.
And it was
like,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But you see, once we step into the realm of heaven, we're then available to be used to connect up. We can't do it from here. You know, this is in time and it's fixed. You know, today is today and our time is fixed as today. But when you step into the realm, which is connected to creative light, which is at a different speed, and therefore time is different, you can be connected to the timeline, and therefore you have access to that. Which, you know, which is why we can go back into eternity and look into the heart of God and engage in what was, to bring that into what is today, to change what will be tomorrow. Again, it's just this access, because we're engaging in that realm, that we can do it. And, you know, I mean, it's great. I mean, I love looking back into what was, because I know it's going to change what is today in me, and therefore it's bound to change tomorrow as a result of that. You know, because there's a continual opportunity to go back to and bring the beginning and the end back together to actually bring transformation and change into it. So, yeah, pretty, pretty cool stuff, isn't it? Mm. So, excellent. Okay. So, has anyone got anything else now they want to share? How about you, Patricia? You've been quiet today. You got anything?
You should call that a blessing.
No, it's not.
It's just amazing. I mean, I listen to everybody, and I just feel so inadequate at times, but I know that it's a work in progress. But I had a very interesting experience yesterday, and, you know, I did not think to ask why I saw this, but I was being escorted around the grounds of heaven, and I opened my eyes, and there was the tunnel of light that people talk about when they die. And I actually saw the tunnel of light, and I saw the people coming out of it. Like I said, I didn't ask why I saw that.
Okay. All right. Well, I think the thing to do would be to re-engage the encounter and to bring it before God for revelation about what your role is in that. Because, I mean, you may have a role to send some people back, you know. And you may have a role to lay hands on them in that realm and usher them back through because their time isn't up. You know, there may well be lots of different connections that you may have with that. You know, and that's a really interesting one. So I would definitely go back and ask for revelation about what that meant, and did you have a function, or was there a function to play in that, and what was it? You know, because it wouldn't have been just random. It obviously has a purpose, and you were shown it for a reason. I've never seen it, so I can't sort of postulate what it could be, but who knows? You know, I've never seen that.
I'm quite shocked to see it from that end.
But again, you know, what part do we play in that? What happens? You know, I don't know. I mean, it's not something I've particularly thought about, but hey, it's a question that. Now you've experienced it, it opens up that realm for, you know, for anyone who feels drawn to that to engage it. You know, what does that mean? Yeah. It's sort of, you can have quite a few possibilities in that one. You know, because if we have got a part to play in the roles in heaven as well as on earth, then there could be a part to play where we usher people to something or various things, you know. I don't know. You know, who knows? So I mean, that's a only God knows in one sense in that one. But I would certainly encourage you to go back to it and to get the revelation from it, because that can happen quite a lot. We can be so gobsmacked and we're like, "Wow, what was that?" We forget actually to find out, you know, what it means and what it meant, because we're just overwhelmed. But that's the great thing about having the testimony. And then using the testimony for the doorway to go back into it, because next time around you get to go with a cognitive memory of what you previously experienced, which then you can re-engage to find out deeper revelatory meaning and find out. You know, because there may have been, I mean, I don't know who was escorting you around the ground, whether it was God, Jesus, an angel or whatever, but I'm sure that there will be someone to ask and to communicate with in it, I'm sure.
I had asked the Holy Spirit to guide me to where he wanted me to go.
Yeah, so, but if you asked him to guide you where you wanted to go, then he took you to a place where he wanted you to go. So, and And, you know, so I would ask him again, you know, for further enlightenment on the subject.
Yeah.
So what happened to them, those people that you saw coming through? What happened to them? What did they come through in an earthly-like form, in a light form? What happened to them when you saw them coming through?
I saw them, they looked like they had earthly clothing on. They weren't, you know, they weren't light beings with nothing, but they had clothing on, and my vision wasn't expanded just to see them come out in various directions.
Right.
You know, some went to the left and some went to the right. There were a few that came straight ahead, but more in different directions. But more, I still saw them in earthly clothing.
All right. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, because even that may have a symbolic nature of understanding to it. Yeah. That they have not yet received their heavenly robes, which may be that they can go back.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it, but that could well be that, you know, there are certain people who do go back. And as we become more functioning in raising the dead and doing that stuff, then they may well be those that are, someone's going to pray for them to come back. You know, I don't know. Certainly interesting. And again, something to see. And these are the sort of the questions. This is the sort of stuff I ask. You know, I want to know, you know, what did they look like? Did they have this stuff on? Because it opens up an understanding into it. You know, because it is significant. No detail is insignificant when you're looking into those things. So the fact that they went off in different directions, what does that mean? Where were they going in the different directions that they were going?
Yeah.
So, interesting. I will wait with bated breath for the next installment of what it is.
I will too.
Definitely. Great, you know.
Anything
is cool. You know, really interesting. Oh dear. Oh, it's great. I just love this sort of stuff. I mean, it's just people sharing, going through portals in meetings to setting up this and going to courts, and hey, it's just awesome, isn't it? I mean. Yes. Who would imagine 10 years ago we'd be sat here talking about this sort of things in our personal experiences? I mean, it's just like, wow, it's amazing.
Well, I think it's so fascinating because literally, you know, a year ago, maybe even a little over a year ago, probably a year and a half ago, we didn't know anybody. We didn't, you know, we got even the revelation, we were just on our own, and then we found Ian probably a year and a half ago, and then now you look at this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's people all over the world. This is amazing, because, yeah. You know, when you aren't connected to any church, I mean, here, it's just, you know, praying in tongues is controversial, so... when you're not connected, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, but I'm just so fascinated to see just in the, I don't know, 6-7 months since, how everybody, it's just so much acceleration going on everywhere.
Yeah,
I find that amazing.
Oh, there is, yeah. I mean, what I've seen in the Northwest and across that whole sort of parallel up there, the same thing is going to happen down the bottom part. You know, with the connection with Atlanta and the southern part, that is going to go right across and connect up to California on the other side. There is going to be, that parallel is also going to open up, you know, and God is starting to prepare people, and, you know, they're not necessarily quite yet in the same place as some of the things we've been talking about, but it's coming, you know, and... You know, these are the things that God is looking to establish in these governmental things all over the earth, which is just amazing, you know.
Yeah, I find it astounding just how quickly. Like, it's just, you learn how to walk, and then the next day you're running, and then the next day you're leaping over tall buildings.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's the nature of being in a time when the books are being opened.
Wow.
Information, awesome, you know, this Daniel thing, you know, we're in a time when information is going to and fro throughout the earth, so what better time to open up the books and reveal things for that, because they can be placed all over the earth quickly, you know, and so we're living in those days where there is a speeding up, an acceleration, you know. I mean, let's face it, you know, when Paul had his revelation, I mean, how long did it take a letter to get from one place to another? He wrote from Rome and sent a letter to somewhere else. You know, it could have taken months.
Yeah.
You know, to get somewhere. You know, now it's like we can click a button and information goes out that can connect up to millions and billions of people all over the world. So we're in a privileged time that we have these things opened up for us, which is just wonderful. You know, so it's pretty good. I love it. So, yeah, excellent. Okay. Right, okay, well,